ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 18 वर्स नंबर 31 टू 34 एंड आई रीड 31 एंड 32 देन विल रिपीट 33 एंड 34. एवं शुषितस्तात भगवान कश्यप स्त्रिया प्रहस्य परमो प्रीतो दीतिम आभिनंदया च. ट्रांसलेशन. ओ माय डियर वन, द मोस्ट पावरफुल सेज कश्यप, बीइंग एक्सट्रीमली प्लीज्ड बाय द माइल्ड बिहेवियर ऑफ हिज वाइफ दीति, स्माइल्ड एंड स्पोक टू हर एज फॉलोज. टेक्स्ट 32. श्री कश्यप उवाच वरम वय वामोर प्रीतस्ते अहम अन्यते स्त्रिय भर्तरी सुप्रीते कह काम ही चागमः. ट्रांसलेशन. कश्यप मुनि सेड, ओ ब्यूटिफुल वुमेन, ओ इरिप्रोचेबल लेडी, सिंस आई एम वेरी मच प्लीज्ड बाय योर बिहेवियर, यू मे आस्क मी फ्रॉम फॉर एनी बेनेडिक्शन यू वांट. इफ अ हस्बैंड इज प्लीज्ड, व्हाट डिजायर्स आर डिफिकल्ट फॉर हिज वाइफ टू ऑब्टेन आइदर इन दिस वर्ल्ड और इन द नेक्स्ट. टेक्स्ट 33 एंड 34. विल रिपतिरेव हि नारीणां दैवतं परमं स्मृतं मानस सर्वभूतानां वासुदेव श्रियपति स एव देवतालिंगैर् नामरूप विकल्पितै इज्जते भगवान पुंभी स्त्रीभिश्च पतिरूपद्रेक. द ट्रांसलेशन एंड प्रवर्ड बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद. ट्रांसलेशन. अ हस्बैंड इज द सुप्रीम डेमिगॉड फॉर अ वुमेन, द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड लॉर्ड वासुदेव, द हस्बैंड ऑफ गॉडेस ऑफ फॉर्च्यून, इज सिचुएटेड इन एवरीवन्स हार्ट and worship to the various names and forms of the demigods by fruitive workers. Similarly, a husband represents the Lord as the object of the worship for a woman. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.23, Ye api anya devata bhakta yajante shradhyanvita te api maam eva kaunteya yajante avidhipurvakam. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but it is offered without true understanding. The demigods are various assistants who act like the hands and legs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is not in direct touch with the Supreme Lord and cannot conceive of the exalted position of the Lord is sometimes advised to worship the demigods as various parts of the Lord. If women, who are usually very much attached to their husbands, worship their husbands as representative of Vasudev, the women benefit, just as Ajamil benefit by calling for Narayana, his son. Ajamil was concerned with his son, but because of his attachment to the name of Narayana, he attained salvation simply by chanting that name. In India, a husband is still called Pati Guru, the husband spiritual master. If husband and wife are attached to one another for advancement in Krishna consciousness, the relationship of cooperation is very effective for such advancement. Although the names of Indra and Agni are sometimes uttered in Vedic mantras, Indraya Swaha, Agneya Swaha, the Vedic sacrifices are actually performed for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. As long as one is very much attached to material sense gratification, the worship of demigods or worship of one husband is recommended. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Beg forgiveness and sorry to disappoint that I am sitting here for the class. Seeking permission of the Vaishnavas, I like to speak something. I have not much prepared, but I'll try my best to speak. In this particular purport, and Prabhupada in the last part says, as long as one is very much attached to material sense gratification, the worship of demigods or the worship of one's husband is recommended. So, from purports of Prabhupada, we understand that Prabhupada does not compromise at all on what he wants to say. He will always say that worship of Krishna is superior. In this particular pastime of Diti trying to please Kashyapa Muni, we see the relationship is based on Diti trying to please Kashyapa Muni. It's based on sense enjoyment so that she can actually take revenge with Indra. The relationship is generally based on what we learn from management studies, as you know, the best is win-win situation, both the parties win. And here we see Kashyapa Muni is completely disappointed after understanding what was the desire of Diti. In spiritual world, the situation is always lose-win. The devotees always want to please Krishna. That is his always desire, that Krishna can be pleased in all circumstances, whether he wins or loses. That is his desire. That is the natural tendency of the living entity. According to one of the definition of what is dharma, once sannyasi was explaining here, the dharma of the soul or the religion of the soul, is occupation of the soul is to please Krishna. So Prabhupada in introduction of Bhagavad Gita writes, occupation of the soul. Occupation means which sustains a person. Like if I earn a livelihood, occupation, I am occupied in some job, it sustains the living entity. So occupation of the soul is to serve Krishna. And that's the only way he can survive and be pleased and be always happy. That's the actual relationship which is expressed in all the scriptures. And that is what Prabhupada is trying to point out here in purport. Prabhupada, in Science of Self-Realization, one person was asking Prabhupada, why do we exist? So Prabhupada replied, we exist for enjoyment. But the problem is we are not directed our efforts in that particular direction for enjoyment. We are trying to water the leaves and the twigs. We are not watering the roots. And therefore, in this particular purport, Prabhupada says, avidhi purvakam, he is quoting Bhagavad Gita. They are trying to please demigods or husband. All these purposes are, all these processes are avidhi. It's not complete. Prabhupada, Bhurijan Prabhu explains in Surrender Unto Me that avidhi is, vidhi means rituals. You are trying to perform some rituals to please somebody. And avidhi, that means this particular ritual we are trying to perform to please husband or a demigod is not complete. It's avidhi. Why? Because it is not for the pleasure of Krishna. So the entire mood of, if you read this Bhaktivedanta purports, it is telling that we should try to please Krishna. And that is the place where we will get actual happiness. So therefore I thought I should speak something on what Prabhupada is trying to speak through his purports. An interesting person said that Prabhupada purports are expressing a religion without compromise. That means without compromise I should worship Krishna. This was in one particular BTG where he says religion without compromise. That means I should worship Krishna without compromise. And if you read critics given by different people in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, very interesting thing which makes all Gaudiya Vaishnavas who are following Prabhupada very proud. We see the mood of Prabhupada. This is Dr. Shukla from his assistant professor of linguistics, Georgetown University. He says, Bhagavad Gita as it is a deeply felt, powerfully conceived and beautifully explained work. I have never seen any other work on the Gita with such an important voice and style. It is a work of undoubted integrity. Now, I thought I will speak on this word, undoubted integrity. So, we see here a comment posed by a professor that Prabhupada's work is a work of undoubted integrity. That means, according to today's purport, he is not compromising that you should worship demigod or you worship somebody else, but worship of Krishna. You should worship Krishna. Please Krishna. And it's very difficult to, you know, write such purports. We'll find out as we go ahead in our discussion that such particular comment that Srila Prabhupada is a chaste follower of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is not compromising. That's a compliment for Srila Prabhupada, and we feel proud in following that that we are in such movement. So I was pondering on this thought of undoubted integrity. What does that mean? So I searched in dictionary and found out some meaning of integrity, and it says undivided, incorruptibility, firm adherence to values. These words are, you know, are specifying different qualities of Prabhupada. Undivided, incorruptibility, firm adherence to the values. Now, what values Prabhupada follow, we know. He is completely dedicated to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and teachings to Lord Chaitanya. Definitions further explained about integrity is, if you have three circles of think, say and do, that means you have a circle of a think, and you have a circle says say, and you have a circle which says do. So think, say and do. Whatever we think, whatever we say and whatever we do, if all these things do not align, that means such a person is not a person of integrity. This is the explanation given in various dictionary. So whatever you think, whatever you say and whatever you do, this is a material definition, but it applies when we understand from spiritual part. We'll understand how Prabhupada did that as compliment given by Dr. Shukla. Whatever Prabhupada thought, whatever Prabhupada said and whatever Prabhupada did, all was aligned. As we say, walk your talk. You know, it's very difficult to do that. And such a person who can align his thinking, his saying and his doing, his work, such a person is a person of integrity. Now, if we discuss something about integrity, in material world we find many examples. When I was trying to find out some notes on this, if we have an honest world, which we say everybody follows every rule, every regulation, there is no effort, we don't require lawyers, everything. But if we have a dishonest world, where most of the people are dishonest, not following the rules and principles, it's difficult to make them honest if we want to make them follow. According to present statistics, 1/3 of the earnings, the incomes, are used in lawsuits. That means lawyers are using 1/3 of the income just to make people, force them to be integrated to their values, fighting cases. 1/3 of the income of the entire population of this world. So it is very sad to see that. Prabhupada writes in, it's a compilation, Life Comes From Life, that nowadays we don't even get pure ghee or pure oil, you know. Nothing is pure. There is no integrity in the commodities. We don't see integrity in state of heads, civil, you know, the people who are leading the society. There is no integrity found in them. And therefore, this Life Come From Life book, it says that we are fortunate to have a person like Prabhupada who does what he says, who has that integrity, completely attachment to Krishna, and he just represents Krishna, gives everybody Krishna. So it's very difficult to find such a leader, such a person who is such chaste to his sampradaya, whatever he is following. Few other parts of discussion which I took for integrity was scientific integrity. This particular discussion is taken by Shyam Sundar Prabhu with Srila Prabhupada, that scientists, they completely believe that whatever they acquire through senses is valid, is truth. So that is their integrity. So Shyam Sundar Prabhu has an argument with Prabhupada that scientists believe in this kind of integrity. Whatever they perceive through their eyes, whatever they perceive through their ears, that is proof. So Prabhupada replied to them, that is their Dr. Frog's philosophy. They are trying to understand truth based on their senses. That's the only evidence available for them. But Prabhupada says there are many other evidences available. And their philosophy is philosophy of Frog's philosophy, Dr. Frog's philosophy. I know everybody knows here what's Dr. Frog's philosophy. A frog which stays in a well, a friend comes to tell him that there is something called as ocean outside. And then they are trying to measure. The person is staying in the well, that frog which is staying in the well is trying to estimate the width and the depth of the ocean. And he says, is it twice of this well, the ocean? He says, no. Is it four times? It is eight times? He says, no. It is impossible for you to conceive. You just have to come outside and see it. So Prabhupada says this scientist who say their integrity is in the senses and whatever they conceive through senses, they are like this frog. Therefore Prabhupada was very hard with the scientist. Sometimes people say why he used to say rascal. Because their idea was very limited. Their understanding was very limited because they only perceived everything through the senses. And therefore, trying to detect who is cause of all causes, staying in your own well, was very difficult for them. But Prabhupada, through his purports, never compromised on that. Always integrated to his values. Another set of people who say they are integrated is one kind of philosopher called Kierkegaard. If you read Prabhupada books, and it's mentioned. This particular philosopher said that whatever one person says or takes decision, he should be confident of it. He should be integrated to that decision. So Prabhupada said, what if the decision is wrong? No problem. He should be integrated to the decision. So Prabhupada was arguing with him that if somebody is stealing and he has the thought that I am doing whatever I am doing is right, is that all right? The philosopher says, yes, as long as he takes the decision and is integrated to that decision that I will steal, he is right. So Prabhupada said, this is not the proper philosophy. Yato mat tato pat, that, okay, whatever I decide is right. They are integrated to their own values. Okay, I decide this particular thing is right and nobody can shirk. This kind of philosophy is still prevalent. People say that even in India, whatever I do is right. You don't have to tell me anything. So such kind of integrity, Prabhupada defeats. Prabhupada says that person who does not have any knowledge about the absolute truth, whatever decision he makes is not correct. He'll definitely under illusion as well as he can make wrong decision. If we have a leader who just believes what he thinks, he can make a chaos, actually make a mess of the state. So, Prabhupada defeats this kind of integrity also. He says, we cannot accept such people. Actually, it results into confusion. If everybody is thinking of his own, integrated to his thought. So, this kind of integrity is also not allowed. Then we have few examples which are from Vedic times. And one of the famous examples, like Bhishma's integrity, very well known. He was so fixed up that he will protect Hastinapur. Although it was material, but he is well known for that integrity. But one particular example which people generally quote of is Karna's integrity. There is so much glorification about Karna that he says his epitome of gratitude. That whatever Duryodhan did for him, he was grateful to him. Epitome of gratitude. He was an unrivaled archer. Prabhupada writes in one purport that Karna could have defeated Arjuna also. He was a very powerful archer. Also, he was very known, very well known for his charity. And the kind of attachment he had to Duryodhana. It is said that once Duryodhana's wife and Karna were playing dice. And this is some Laukic story which I have heard in my childhood. That the sarif of Duryodhana's wife just slipped out. And Duryodhana came and corrected this sarif but did not chastise the wife. That kind of faith Duryodhana had on Karna. So Karna is a well-known figure for integrity to Duryodhana. But Prabhupada says, whatever integrity was shown by Karna, it was not pleasing to Krishna. He was on the side of Adharma. There are many other reasons which Madhva Sampradaya gives about Karna's fault. Like Duryodhana gave him a kingdom and coronated him as a king. According to Kshatriya rule, a Kshatriya should not accept kingdom like that. Either he should get it in inheritance or he should win it. But he got a gift. So that was wrong on his side. Also, he was not on the side of Dharma. So for this kind of integrity of Karna, which many people appreciate, is not appreciated by Prabhupada. Prabhupada says he was not on the side of Dharma. Therefore, he is not considered as a person of integrity. His integrity was in ignorance. So there are other kind of integrity like philosophical integrity. Prabhupada writes about Buddhists, about Charvaks, the follower of Charvak, that do whatever, just enjoy, just be merry. So because the principle of these people is there is no such thing as life after death. So they deny the integrity of the soul. It's eternal nature of the soul. They deny that integrity of the soul with the eternity. That they are not, the soul is not eternal. It accepts a body. The person just comes, enjoys and dies. That's the end. So we don't have to discuss Bhagavad Gita itself. The second chapter itself discusses. Krishna says, a pandita, such a person who does not believe, whose entire philosophy is based on body, is such a pandita. He is not a wise person. Therefore, such kind of integrity is also not accepted. Now, there are people who have some moral values and integrity in their life, but they can change their values if the situation arises. They can accept a higher value. Like there is a story of a sage. He was meditating in a forest in a very tranquil environment, and suddenly he heard a lot of noise and a deer went through that place. And after the deer left, one hunter was running behind him and he could not trace the deer. So he came and asked the sage, did you see some deer from here passing by this place, running away from this place? I am trying to hunt it. Now the sage had two things to do. Either he could say, yes, he saw a deer. But in that case, he would have killed the deer. He would have performed a himsa. Or other situation, he could have lied that he didn't see a deer. But according to what we understand, a sage should not lie. So he had two different choices right now, which to select. So he took a higher value. He lied just to protect a living entity. So there are people who select a higher value. But this may not be based on pleasure of Krishna. As Prabhupada is pointing out in his purport, as critics have glorified, like that Prabhupada always selected what is best for Krishna, what is pleasurable to Krishna. That is the topmost value which Prabhupada always selected. Yudhishthira Maharaj's example is very, very famous for us, that the kind of values Yudhishthira Maharaj used to follow. He never shirked in telling a truth. Always he was for truth. Whenever there is a chance that people would bribe him or tell him something. He would never say a lie. In fact, during the gambling, he knew Shakuni is cheating. But since he was called for the dice game, he continued playing with it. He was true to his words. But we see in his case also, when Krishna told him to tell a lie, he denied. And therefore such kind of integrity is also not glorified. He was always telling a truth, and when he was told to tell that, please tell, Ashwatthama has died, he refused. He told, I will never tell a lie. So such kind of integrity which is not pleasing to Krishna is also not acceptable. And now when we come to Srimad Bhagavatam, we have examples of devotees who are completely integrated to for the pleasure of Krishna. For example, we have Prahlad Maharaj. The kind of love and integrity he has shown to Krishna, it is impossible for us to follow. He was very small in his age and threatened by Hiranyakashipu. Entire demigods, they fear Hiranyakashipu. But Prahlad Maharaj was so fixed up, so chaste to Krishna that he didn't even deter. He sent them, interestingly, Prahlad Maharaj was sent to his teachers and his friends, where Hiranyakashipu told them, you should teach them that Vishnu is not supreme. I am the supreme. And teach him all Asuric, values. But Prahlad did not deter from his vows. In fact, I remember, the children are more affected by his teacher. Like I remember, whatever I learned from the school, even if my father said this is wrong, I said, no, my teacher has said this. This is right. Even if it is wrong. So we are more influenced by children, our own friends and teachers than by our parents. So Prahlad Maharaj was not even influenced by that. He was such a small child. Generally, they get influenced by his child, by his friends. So we see Prahlad Maharaj's integrity was so high that even if we have small tests, it's difficult for us to tolerate. He was put under different kind of test. At least for me, if somebody says, I will throw you from a building or crush you under an elephant, it's very difficult to conceive whether I'll continue with that kind of vow. And Hiranyakashipu was not an ordinary person. He was king. He was the samrat of the entire planet, entire universe. And it's such a tangible offer that I can side on him. And being a child, he refused that kind of offer. So the definition which I told about integrity, incorruptibility, undivided, no chance of getting corrupted, any cost, whatever temptations, you get, there is no chance that he will be tempted. So Prahlad Maharaj is one example. We have example of Bali Maharaj. When he gave the promise to Vamandev that he would give the land, Shukracharya told him, you don't give it. In spite of, he knew that Vishnu has come. So he knew this is the topmost thing. And therefore he did not get away from the vow that I will not donate this, whatever Vamandev requires. So we have these examples in Shastras where we see the determination, the integrity of pure devotees of the Lord. A small parallel I can make, because I started with what Prabhupada in his purport is saying about his integrity, that he is always want to see that Krishna is pleased, and Krishna always want to say that Krishna is supreme. So Prabhupada in Lilamrita instance comes that when Prabhupada started preaching, many kinds of people started approaching him, and one particular person comes and asks that, do you have something for me? So Prabhupada said Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the topmost, and he said, do you have something else? So Prabhupada became very sad, and Prabhupada said, I am giving him the topmost, he doesn't want to have it. So he told to the person that I have nothing else to give. I have the most important thing to give to you. Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Please accept it. So here we see that Srila Prabhupada's nature, Srila Prabhupada's attachment or chastity, that he was given such a chance that, okay, you give me some other mantra. He could have given and made a follower, you know, one more person to add to the list. But he didn't do that. In fact, he became sad that, you know, I could not give him something higher. I think 3 years back, one Prabhupada disciple from Vrindavan, he passed away. I don't remember his name. He was a scholarly person and very well known in Sanskrit, translated many Gaudiya Vaishnava books, Kushakrita Prabhu. And I remember when he left his body, there was discussion in ashram as well as His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was discussing. Maharaj was speaking about his integrity. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was telling that he was such a scholarly person. And in 1977, when Prabhupada left, Vrindavan is still having many scholars and many really highly realized people who can give real high knowledge. And Sanskrit scholar better than Srila Prabhupada. But this devotee, he was himself a scholar, never went to any other person. Continued his chastity to Srila Prabhupada. Continued his devotion, his integrity to serve Srila Prabhupada. So, this kind of things are found, you know, even in followers of Srila Prabhupada. They were so integrated that I will never leave Prabhupada. They knew there are people who can give higher knowledge, higher realizations. But he never went. He continued to serve Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami writes, Vacho Vegam. I was thinking on this that it is not just, you know, not speaking Prajalpa or, you know, but it can extend to the state that if I have higher intelligence and I can understand, you know, deep philosophy, so can I control my mind, can I control my tongue, can I control my intelligence just to stay chaste to Srila Prabhupada and not speak, not, you know, I was also thinking on this with Atyahar, you know, generally we want to hear higher information, but are our ears chaste to only Srila Prabhupada's purports, hear Srila Prabhupada's translations, understand what Srila Prabhupada wants to say. So Kushakrit Prabhu was an exemplary devotee who, in spite of having such kind of intelligence, could translate, understand books, continued to serve Srila Prabhupada till the last breath of his life. I remember, it's not my glorification, but when I first started preaching something in Singapore, when I was staying there in 1997, I used to hear some cassette, make notes, and then give the class. So, once a person came to me and he heard the class, then I gave him some cassettes to hear. So, he went, next Saturday he came and told me, why do you repeat whatever is said in that cassette? Can you say something else? So, first I felt, that my intelligence is so low. It is actually low that I cannot, you know, understand myself and repeat. But I was happy also that I was able to repeat what I heard. And though I am not chaste and integrated, but at least to some extent I could convey to a person that whatever is taught in the philosophy by Srila Prabhupada has to be repeated. Like somebody complimented Prabhupada that you are repeating what Ramanujacharya and the other acharyas have spoken. So Prabhupada said, this is the success, you know, of my writings, that I am just repeating what the previous acharyas have told. So Prabhupada spent so many years in propagating this mission, like 40-50 years he was just struggling in India. He was selling Back to Godhead magazines on tea stall, or trying to arrange funds just to print Srimad Bhagavatam, but he never left his desire, his integrity to serve his spiritual master. So many tempting situations. so many situations where he was rejected, or he himself was frustrated. Anybody will become frustrated. But he continued to serve Srila Prabhupada. I read a particular article from BTG where Prabhupada was once asked to give ideas about how to establish a civilization. So Prabhupada told the first point as, civilization without God consciousness is polished animalism. So such kind of, this is the first point, that civilization without God consciousness is polished animalism. And you are giving these points to some higher person that, you know, okay, these are the points I have. And if you follow this, you will establish a proper civilization. Now, anybody could bristle at this thought. It's a cutting remark actually, that, you know, you are a polished animal because you are not God conscious. So Prabhupada was not afraid, you know, to express that kind of thought. Okay, you know, if you don't have God consciousness in your life, you are a polished animal. Now, from this particular article, three things which the author wants to say, that Prabhupada demanded humility. You know, by saying polished animal, he is trying to express, he is trying to tell people that you are a servant of Krishna. You are an insignificant living entity. So Prabhupada is demanding humility. People are, you know, having such sophisticated life, you know, art, music, they are living in such a pleasurable area. To tell them polished animal is really a big offense. So the first step for knowledge, to realize God or have a God civilization based on God, you should be humble. Amanitva adambitva. The first step is humility. So Prabhupada is demanding humility, you know, from these people. Also, he is preaching, Srila Prabhupada's preaching, his integrated to the movement was such that it was not flattering to people. It was not, you know, like you come and say sweet words to people. It was very harsh for many people. But because he was pure and the message was very potent, people could understand that what Srila Prabhupada wants to give. Also, that was not the nature of Srila Prabhupada. Like we know the pastime where the Guru Puja was going on and one devotee was hurt at his leg. And Prabhupada paid attention to him. He told what is the problem. He called him, gave him some money so that he can take treatment. Also, we hear how Prabhupada used to give gifts to the servants, you know, who are serving him. Give him some money so that they can buy some gifts for their children. So he was very soft at heart. But as far as preaching and his integrated to the movement or preaching the movement which Bhakti Siddhanta Swami Thakur had given him, he was very, very firm. He was not flattering people. During the hippie area or hippie time, when the time was, it's called hippiedom, the heyday of hippiedom, as they say, so many people came to hippies, you know, this Western America, Sufis, then gurus, incarnations, so many people came to America, and they all rationalized whatever they were doing. They used to tell, okay, you can take drugs, you can you know, have illicit sex. So they rationalized everything. And Prabhupada going to such a community and saying no drugs. And if somebody is claiming that you are a god, he says you are a dog. You know, it was a very powerful thing to do that time. So we can understand from the boldness, like Indradyumna Maharaj was told by Srila Prabhupada, that you preach boldly. And we see how Srila Prabhupada was bold, you know, going in such an area where he has no followers, no money, and preaching against the culture and still becoming successful. And that's the power of his preaching. That's because he was integrated, very chaste to his followers, to his movement. One BTG article says that what Prabhupada gave substance without frills. That means he gave substance. He never gave a shadowy thing. He always gave substance. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. He always gave meaning, not mush. He didn't give khichdi. You know, he gave clear things. clear meaning to every understanding of philosophy. So many people have expressed, like if you read Bhaktivedanta Purport, which is Shivaram Swami's book, His Holiness Shivaram Swami's book, and in Stephen Rosen, Satyaraj Prabhu writes a foreword. He says that there was so much confusion. I was trying to find out so many different books, trying to understand Bhagavad Gita, but I never got such clear understanding. So Prabhupada gave meaning and did not give mush or mush, they say in English, not khichdi, clear understanding. Also, one of the things is he gave vanity without varnish. That means he gave clear understanding of whatever he said. All of these things which Prabhupada gave was not just emotional. He gave with sound reasoning and proper understanding of Shastra. He himself was a scholar, very well learned. And whatever he gave was completely integrated to what he learned. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's purports, whenever we read like this particular purport, at the end it says, as long as one is very much attached to material sense gratification, the worship of demigods or the worship of one's husband is recommended. He is telling that sense gratification, who is attached to sense gratification can do this. But one is attached to Krishna, he should not do this. So Srila Prabhupada's purports forfeit his integrity. He was integrated to what the previous acharyas want to say, and he never compromised on that. Therefore, one particular person called Elvin Powell, I will end with this, he writes, if truth what works, there must be a kind of truth in Bhagavad Gita as it is. Since those who follow its teachings display joyous serenity, usually missing in the bleak and strident lives of contemporary people. So, I think this is sufficient to say what Bhaktivedanta Purports has to give. And I hope and pray that I also become, you know, integrated to what I am supposed to follow. Pray to all Vaishnavas also for that. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any correction, Radha Gopinath? Gantraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.